nation. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he would say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do to those the least of us, you did not do to me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. First thing is, I just have two announcements. The first is one which demands our prayers. So the flu is pretty bad right now, and we have several kids, like a lot of kids, out of both the school and the daycare who are out with the flu, with the type A flu, which is apparently the one that makes everyone nervous. And so following counsel from the diocesan worship office, we're gonna be withholding the cup at daily mass for the foreseeable future. There's several vulnerable populations here, one of whom, frankly, is the priest. So we'll simply be withholding the chalice for the next couple weeks, probably. We'll get back to you when that happens. It's important to remember, though, you know, whenever we do this, receiving from the chalice is a good and a holy thing. The council restored it for a reason. It helps articulate better what's really going on at Holy Communion. You know, there's that precious moment where the priest breaks off a piece of the consecrated host and lays it into the chalice. And this is both a memory of a time when the bishop would break off little bits of the host from his mass and send it out so that every mass which was celebrated in his diocese, would have a little bit of the host from his Mass in it. But it has a much deeper symbolic value here. For Christ is consecrated separately, as it were, his body and blood apart. When your body and your blood are separated from one another, they die. They're reunited just before this great moment of Holy Communion, because it is not the dead Jesus whom we receive, but the risen one. And in every bit of body and blood is contained the whole and entire of the Lord Jesus. Second announcement really pertains very much to this passage which Deacon Chuck just read to us. We had a man kind of stumbling around campus earlier today who I think was probably homeless and was certainly not well. Several parishioners came to get me, and people were nervous, of course, because the man was acting strangely. But they were living this. Nobody was trying to throw him out. Nobody was trying to hurt him. They wanted to know was how we could get him help. And that needs to be our response, because the Lord often appears in the distressing disguise of the poor. He makes himself known to us in the hungry and the thirsty and the imprisoned, even the dead and the dying. Note here that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But from that point on in the passage, the Son of Man is referred to only as the King. I don't know about you, I don't know many kings that get involved in the nitty-gritty of taking care of their sheep, let alone getting rid of the goats. But ours does, which is why we can take great hope and consolation in what the Lord promises here. It's not just a moral story to try and get us to be nice to poor people. It's to remind us, we are the poor people, the ones in need of care, and the Lord himself lives in us and those who care for us.